right. So I want to unlock faith tonight. So dan ons Londen preek ons in Engels, mense, ek is jammer. So ek is nie meer so sterk met my Afrikaans in die prediking nie, but I will try to share some stories in Afrikaans. So I want to share with you tonight about the cloud or the crowd. Can you put my slide on there? The cloud or the crowd. Okay, there's a photo of my family. Dis my pragtige vroukie daai. Sonika, sy is die sonskyn van my lewe. 22 jaar getroud en dit raak net beter en beter. Halleluja. So as jy wil verstaan, as jy my wil verstaan, twee dinge, familie en herlewing. Dis waarvoor ek leef. Familie en herlewing. My seun Wian, hy's 14, hy's lief vir Jesus, hy love kerk en hy glo op sy pa die beste job in die wêreld. So en ons het 'n Fivefold Ministry Academy begin. Daar's 'n prentjie daarvan. Dit is heeltemal verniet. Dit is om die wyeer liggaam van Christus te help om te groei in die volheid van Christus. The Fivefold Ministry Academy, it's a Facebook group and it's also a YouTube channel called Kingdom Unleashed. So you can just search Kingdom Unleashed on YouTube. So jy vir ons vind en ons ek doen interviews elke maand. Doen ek 'n onderhoud met 'n Fivefold minister. Apostels, profete, pastore, teachers, evangeliste en dan leiers en die interviews is regtig besig om mense so te help. Ons het 3 maande gelede begin en dit is wonderlik. Maar gaan na kingdomunleashed.net vir meer van dit en die mission is to revive the church and to see the kingdom of God come. Ek het 'n boek geskryf, Increasing Heaven's Flow, en ek het vir Rikkele so 'n klomp van my kopies van die boeke gegee om vir julle te bless. En so jy daar boete prentjie te wees van dit, ek weet nie, boek, ek weet nie. Increasing Heaven's Flow, ek het 'n paar extra kopies ook gebring wat die naweek hier sal wees. So you're welcome to get it. And it really is about renewing your mind and helping you to renew your mind, to align it with the will of God. Okay, there you have it. And on the website, you can also do the Fivefold Ministry test to if you want to figure out your Fivefold Ministry wiring. There's a free test as well that you can do. So verlede jaar het ons in swak op mond gaan bedien. En wil net weer en sê, is 'n voorreg om hier te wees. So lief vir julle. En ek is so opgewonde vir hierdie naweek. Ons het soveel goeie stories al oor die jare van naweke soos hierdie wat 'n kerk gerealign het in iets pragtigs in. Terwyl ons geworship het, I saw a vision of a oil drill, massive oil drill. And I felt in the spirit the Lord is saying that there's a gusher under this church. There's an inheritance for this church, Shofar Wooster, to release revival in this city and region. And I believe that this weekend God is giving you the equipment, the tools, so that you can dig and redig the wells of the past. Okay, so I really believe this weekend God's going to give you tools to help you release revival in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so ons is swak op mond toe gewees verlede jaar, en soos ons gegaan het, toe ervaar ek dat die Here sê vir my, the glory has moved. The glory has moved. And then the Holy Spirit unpacked that for me and revealed to me, it's like, you know, in the Old Testament where the Israelites were in the wilderness and then the glory of God would move and then they would pack up and they would follow, and then where the glory rests, they would build camp. And then the glory would lift and then they had to pack up and follow. And I felt the Lord say to me last year, the glory has moved. But what does the church do? We tend to camp where God was 10 years ago. But that's when God moved, and He did. People got saved and lives were changed. But then we tend to build camp there and we say, well, we've always done it like this. The glory has moved. In every generation, there needs to be renewal. It starts in the spirit, and over time we lose it because the glory moves. And then we need to follow. And we need to see, what is God doing in the body of Christ? Where is He moving so that we can receive that renewal that He is bringing? And so He wants to move His church into where the glory is. And so I want to help you are with us. But if you want to be in the glory where God is, you need humility and you need a hunger. You need to humble yourself to say God is doing something in somebody's life and I need to receive it. You need humility. And you need a hunger because otherwise you're just going to park. You say, God, we desire more. Thank you for what you're doing. But there is more. Amen? And then you need to follow. So I'm trusting. Hunger is a grace from God. It is something that is imparted into us. And it's like, I must have more of Jesus or I'll die. And that's what I've experienced in my life over the years, is that there was such a deep hunger for God that I cannot stay where I am. And most of the time, the things that moves me is compassion for people. Like with my wife, when we moved to East London in 2009, our son was born, and my wife fell into a postnatal depression. And for about 3 years, she couldn't sleep. So I would wake up in the night and she would not be next to me in bed. She'd be on the floor in the bathroom just crying. I literally prayed for her hundreds of times, laying hands on her, said, Jesus, heal her, whatever this is, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we tried everything and nothing worked. And I had to face the truth. I'm a tongue-speaking pastor. I'm in the ministry for 10 years. I believe God is powerful, but I don't know His power. I had to humble myself. I had to admit, I pray for people and nothing happens. That's where I was 2012. And I was hungry. So the one time we went to George, I preached a show for George, and we tried to have a few days of holiday. Again, my wife couldn't sleep, and we were depressed. We were burdened. We had no joy. I was like, God, this is killing us. 3 years of hell. And I, God, we need you. And I remember going back to East London, and I've never been as persuaded about something in my life. But I proclaimed it to our church. Guys, we are going to pursue the power of God like never before for my wife's sake and so many other people that are struggling with depression and insomnia and sicknesses and diseases and whatever else. So many people struggling. And so compassion moved me. And I want to encourage you this week, and I'm trusting that compassion will move us. Compassion will move us for the sake of the lost. Do you know what's wrong with our country? The church is dead. That's the problem. All the other issues is not the issue. The church isn't what the church should be. And I believe God is bringing a renewal to the church in this season. And I believe He's bringing renewal to you guys. Amen? Come on, you are on His agenda. You are on His timeline. Revival is now. Revival is now. When you unlock your faith, suddenly revival comes. I want to encourage you with that. The hungry and the humble will follow the cloud. But what are you following, the cloud or the crowd? If you can't have both. If you're following the crowd, you have very little of Jesus. And so much of the church world is about pleasing people instead of just following Jesus. Part of this pursuing the cloud is that you have to stop listening to people and you have to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. So Luke chapter 5 verse 37, I just want to sort of set the stage for this weekend. And this is a passage that Jesus spoke of and about the wineskins. And He said, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Come on, say no one. No one. No one, no one can put new wine. What's the new wine? It's a renewal of the Holy Spirit. It is the fullness of Christ. It is God's Holy Spirit coming to bring new life. The new wine. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Old wineskin is the old mindset, the old way of how we did things in the past. For the new wine would burst the wineskins. If you try to have a renewal of the Holy Spirit, but with an old mindset, it's going to be messy. And it says, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. That's why so many people run away from the things of the Holy Spirit, because they haven't renewed their mind sufficiently. They haven't aligned it with a new wineskin. Verse 38, new wine must be stored in new wineskins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. New mindset. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. And this is what we see. We see this with church leaders especially, but the longer you have been a believer, the more we hold on to how we did it 20 years ago. And you miss out on what God is doing right now. And it takes humility. You know, when in 2012, in this desperation for more of God, for the sake of my wife and others, there was a church in town where there was a move of God, they say, but I was not sure. But some of my leaders went to this other church and there was like wild things happening. Wild manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Yo, I was very offended. How dare people say there's more of Jesus in another church? You know, you want to believe yours is the best, you know? And I was about to start warning people against this other church because of my pride. And so I took it to the Lord in prayer. And I said, God, what is this thing? What is this thing? What this other church thing, what is it? And then the Lord spoke to me. He said to me, Andre, either you humble yourself and you receive, or you remain proud and you receive nothing. Sure. Enough. And so I humbled myself and I went to that church. And the things that were happening was like, I didn't like it. I was like, my wine is better. And then there was this moment that we had this time where they're praying for pastors. And I went into this room and there were like five people, one is a teenager and four other adults, praying, I mean, prophesying over me. So I sat there on the chair and they prayed over me. And then suddenly they started to prophesy about the fivefold ministry that rests upon my life. First time the fivefold really came onto my radar. They started to prophesy about leadership. At that stage, I was not a leader in Shofar. But they started to prophesy about future leadership. They started to prophesy about a deliverance ministry that actually only 10 years later started. Last year it started. I'll share about that tomorrow. Incredible deliverance ministry that God's doing now. They prophesied about so many things. And I got up from that chair and I went outside of the room and I fell to my knees and I wept like a baby. I had an encounter with Jesus. And I realized I have never in my life experienced prophetic accuracy and prophetic grace like I experienced in that moment. It transformed my life. And it moved me. You know what? It took hunger and humility. It took hunger and humility to receive what God wanted to do. And so I started to pursue the things of the Spirit. And I had this mindset change, this new value system as I embraced the full fivefold. You see, you can have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, but you can have all of them old wineskins. And then you have new wineskins. It is life-giving. It is less control. It is more joy. My wife and I, we have never had as much fun as we're having now in doing church and ministry. Jesus healed my wife, and incredible things started to happen. But it took me to humble myself and to pursue. And so I want to encourage you tonight, be hungry for the more. In 2012, I was in the ministry for 10 years, and I saw two people healed in 10 years. End of 2012, I had this encounter with God. I saw a vision of an altar call, and I saw everybody getting healed. And the Lord said to me, this is what's going to happen. There will become times where everybody's going to get healed. Guys, I have seen so many times that has happened in this last 10 years. Everybody getting healed. Now, those who haven't been healed yet tonight, we're trusting over this weekend you're going to get healed. Amen? Hallelujah. But it changed my life. 2013, 14, 15, 16, we saw about 1,200 people physically healed. My life was rocked. I didn't see it in my life, so I thought, maybe it's not for me. Until the prophetic word came and God said, it is for you. And so the prophetic is critical. If you want to step into the fullness of God, you need to embrace the prophetic. And we're going to touch on it tonight. We're going to touch on it tonight. But God has transformed our lives and God has transformed our church. It is just incredible what God is doing when you have the new wineskin. Then comes the new wine and then lives are transformed. Amen. Come on, say it. Lord, make me hungry. Amen. For more, for more, for more. Okay? But it said in that passage there, but some say the old is fine. No. The old is not fine. We need a renewal. Amen. We need a renewal. I have only dreamt in all the years of what I'm experiencing in our church right now. It's just phenomenal. How people would walk into our church and they would just weep in the presence of God. Unbelievers, not knowing what is going on with them. God's in the house. God has always wanted His Holy Spirit to be present tangibly. So here's a picture of the fivefold apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And there's grace that comes with all of them. And so in my book, Increasing Heaven's Flow, I unpack that, the different graces and empowerment. So who are you following? The cloud or the crowd? You see, over the years, this has been my struggle. Where I've been so intimidated by people over the years and the opinions of man. And it's sort of the nature of church. It's like there's so many options where people can go. And so you want to please people to come to your church and please don't leave. And it's a trap. People pleasing will kill the presence of God in our lives. So here's a picture of a circle with a dot in the center. The sort of dark blue represents the kingdom of God. The pink is like when you're in the kingdom of darkness. Sort of feels the wrong way around. But anyway, when you come to Christ, you come into the circle. But at the center is the Christ-centered life. That is the open heavens. That is where you experience the tangible presence of God. That's where you want to live. Most believers live on the fringes of that circle. Not in the place where it's open heavens, where the presence and the power of God can live in us. And over the years, I've experienced this so many times. I feel burdened and I feel, you know, the fear of man coming upon me and struggling. And then there are those times when I just turn to Jesus and I just come into His presence and I can just breathe. Just freedom. That's the center. That's where you want to be. Peace, joy, freedom, life. Miracles, not having to control people, no more ungodly fear, just freedom. Come on, say it. This is for me. This is for you. This is where Jesus wants you to live. I didn't know this until the Lord started to lead me into this. When we follow the crowd, when we are crowd-centered, we will find ourselves intimidated, people-pleasers, and buckling under the pressures of life. But when you are Christ-centered, when you are cloud-centered, the presence of God-centered, the glory-centered, then you will be bold. Then you will be a God-pleaser. Then you will stand strong under the pressures of life. And so I want to give you three keys, three tools. Pastoors dit nou die tyd om hier aan te kom. Niels wil belei sy sonde. Hy het gaan golf speel vanoggend en ons sien nou dit was nie van die Here af nie. Want daar was toe 'n verkeersdrama. Kom sit ons hande saam vir Pastor Niels. Good to have you with us, brother. Hallelujah. But there's this adventure in following the cloud. If your Christianity is boring, it's the wrong form of Christianity. Because I tell you, wherever I go, there's action. It is wonderful. There's an adventure in following the Lord. So I want to take you to Joshua chapter 1, the first few verses. It's not on the screen, but it speaks about this commission. So they've been following the cloud for 40 years. And now something changes. But 40 years of struggling, 40 years of people dying out, 40 years of disappointment upon disappointment. And now the cloud lifts and the Lord says Moses is dead. And He says, Joshua, move into the promised land, into Canaan, and take the land. Now I can imagine Joshua was like, God, are you sure? can the cloud not go somewhere else? Because I see fortresses. I see armies who want to kill us. I see some really scary things, giants. God, somewhere else, please. But I found that the glory will normally lead you into difficult situations. The glory will lead you into precious situations. So in 2014, we were in India. And flying back from India on the airplane, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, go to Argentina next year. Go to Argentina. I have no connections. Make a miraculous online connection with somebody. We go to Buenos Aires. We have an incredible week of miracles and things are happening. Wonderful. On the last day, I'll get into the rest of that story tomorrow, but I want to just jump ahead. So after that, we felt the Lord said, now go to Rio de Janeiro. And I have no connections in Rio de Janeiro. So I contact the pastor in Buenos Aires and say, hey, do you have any contacts in Rio? And he said, no, no contacts. Yo, so I'm praying for connections. Then the pastor comes back to me and he says to me, well, actually, I do. I have a friend whose church is in Rio. And so they connect me. I go on a video call with the apostle of this church group and their pastors, and they're with a translator. And then they look at me like, who are you and why do you want to come and why should we trust you with our church people? I'm like, I just start sharing stories of what God did in Argentina. And they're like, wow, that's amazing. And then in the end they say, but because this friend of the pastor, because they trust him, I didn't never met this guy, but he gave me a good word and they said, come. So here I go to Rio and we present a revival conference. I have no idea what I'm doing. And Jesus shows up. 200 people physically healed. We see cancers disappear. Some people stage 4 cancer. In one moment, boom, healed. Confirmed by doctors. Multiple incredible things happen. On the last night, we go to a tent crusade thing outside of Rio. Preach miracles, souls, salvation, the kingdom come. And then we drive back the night. My wife is next to me in the car. And then I remember, in Buenos Aires, 6 months before, I was robbed. My bag with my passport was stolen. Okay, I'll unpack a little bit more of that tomorrow. But now I remember that. So I'm in the car. It's 1 o'clock at night, and I hold my bag a little bit tighter. Oh, fuss. Oh, fuss. So we get out of the car in Rio, and we hug the apostle's son who's a worship leader. We hug them. Thank you for the gift. I see in my side eye, I see a car stop. Next moment, a gun to my face. Bag. Bye. Bag. Stolen. Car. Stolen. Ah. Intimidation. The enemy wants to shut up. Stop following the cloud. But in that week, I had, in a time of prayer, I saw a vision of a massive open door. And I heard the Lord saying he's going to open massive doors in Brazil. And then gun to the face. Next morning, on a video call with another pastor in Brazil, church of 6,000 people. And they say, come. 6 months later, at a church of 6,000 people, doing 5 nights of revival, about 400 people physically healed, people manifesting demons and people coming to Christ. Unbelievable. Little old me following the cloud. That changed my life. I discovered God is with me. I tell you, when you discover that God is with you, you will live differently. And one of the last nights after the apostle, the leader of the church family, when he experienced this incredible things that God is doing, the miracles and the things happening, then he said to me, the next church we must go to is a church of 70,000 people. He's got connections. I'm like, come on. I haven't done that yet. I'd love to go and do that. But I've discovered it doesn't matter the size of the crowd. God scales his power from 50 to 50,000. If you are intimidated with a crowd, that means you are trusting in self, not in Jesus. Amen. Come on, say, there's more. There's more. Do you know where the block is? In your head. That's our problem. And that's why we need the prophetic word, the presence of God and the prophetic word to unlock what God has already placed within us. Amen. I was standing at Convergence in 2015, a Convergence conference, a Shofar conference, national conference. I'm not preaching, I'm just standing on the side and facilitating one of the sessions. At one point, I hear the voice of God say to me, look at the people. And there was like 1,200 to 1,500 people in the audience. And I hear the Holy Spirit say to me, this is a small crowd compared to where I'm taking you. I'm like, is that me? Is that just vanity? Is that God? But I heard the voice of my heavenly Father saying, Andre, you're thinking too small. Think bigger. This is where I'm going to take you. This is a small crowd. 9 months later, church of 6,000 people. Amen? So come on. It's not just vanity. It's the Lord wanting to do things. He wants to come and unlock faith in your heart. When you discover that Jesus lives on the inside of you, you're going to live different. When you stretch forth your hand to pray for somebody and you realize Jesus lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, then surely something should happen. Amen? Come and say it. Jesus lives in me. But the fight is in your mind. This has been the biggest fight of my life. 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016 is a fight of faith. To believe what the Word of God says. So I'm trusting for an unlocking of faith. And the prophetic is critical if you want to discover who you really are. Like I did in that room in 2012 when a teenager prayed over me and also gave me this incredible prophetic word and was like, God, you are speaking. So come on, let's trust God for prophetic grace this weekend to be released over your lives. So key number one, face your fear and follow. Face your fear and follow. When it comes to the things of God, fear is the block. Unbelief is the block. And you have to say, no, on the other side of fear, there's freedom. It's like taking the microphone and sometimes you have to talk. And you're terrified of speaking in front of people. But if you face your fear and then speak, share that testimony. Share what God is doing in you. Take your next step. We are all on a different place in our journey. But take that next step. Face your fear and follow. Freedom is on the other side of your fears. So Joshua had this pressure situation. Following the cloud into Canaan, into the promised land, was a pressure situation. But that is where he experienced God. So if you go back to the picture with the circle, what often happens to believers is the pressure comes and then we buckle. We run to the alcohol. We run to the media. We run to the food. We run to other things because we're buckling under the pressure. How do you handle pressure? How do you handle pressure? Because that will determine, are you going to live a Christ-centered life or are you going to flow around on the edges? How do you handle pressure? Because that's defining. When the pressure is on, I've learned this. When the pressure is on me, I stop the bus, I go and I pray until I get my peace back. I go and worship until I'm back in the presence of God. I go and I allow the pressure to take me into the presence of God. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Pressure is a gift. Pressure is a gift. But you have to discover it. You have to discover the blessing that it is. You know, over the years, you know, some years ago, I think it was like 2015, you know, Shofar went through a really difficult season with leadership and things. And I was like, oh, so I'm flying down to Cape Town and I'm in leaders' meetings and this is stuff being said and it's just offending me. I am disillusioned. I'm like, how did we find ourselves here? And I remember flying back to East London and I would go. I remember the one time I flew back on the same night. I was in a small group, like a home group, cell group thing. And I can't connect with God. I am disillusioned. I am disillusioned into the grave. Can't connect with God. And the next moment, as people are worshiping and I'm trying to connect with God, and the next moment I hear the voice of the Lord say to me, Andre, the only reason you're disillusioned is because you're looking at man and not at me. The moment I heard that and I shifted my eyes back to Jesus, I was back in his presence. There are so many Christians that are disillusioned. So many believers, pastors, preachers, and Christians that are so offended with God, with circumstances, with the negatives in their lives, that their hearts become cold and hard and it becomes a block between them and Jesus. And I see it. And then you go to the fringes and then you spiral outside even it. Outside and you're not in the presence of God and you lose your hope and you get offended And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me tonight that when we get disillusioned, when we get offended, it's like demonic spirits that come into our lives that bring bitterness and unbelief and cynicism. And it makes us sick. And I feel like tonight God wants to come and heal hearts from those disappointments. Disappointment in our marriages. Disappointment in our children or parents. Disappointment in people, believers in the church. Offenses bring a poison to our hearts. And the Lord wants to come and heal us of that tonight. Come on, say amen. Amen. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. Because this is key number two. Pressure catapults you into His presence. Pressure is your friend. Come on, say, pressure is my friend. I can tell you so many stories of pressure, but then I allowed the pain to push me into the presence of God. I take it to the Lord. He's good. He's faithful. He's always good. He's always good. He's only good. If you're confused about the goodness of God and you think the bad in your life is because of God, you're in trouble. He's good. He's always good. He's only good. Come on, say it. He's good. Come on, say it. He's always good. And He's only good. You have to get it, because people get confused. I think the sickness is of God. Absolute rubbish. Jesus didn't go around killing kids. Jesus didn't go around giving people cancer. He went around spoiling every funeral. Raising the dead. Amen. If you get confused about God, look at Jesus in the Gospels. That's who He is. That is His heart. I am so persuaded that He is good. And He's always revealing Himself. You know, my assistant pastor in East London, his name is Jean-Pierre Gono. His wife, at the age of 33, got cancer. Breast cancer. She had a mastectomy, treatments. They have two small kids. Age of 35, cancer comes back. Cancer starts to spread all over her neck. From the ear up to the neck, there's like just this thing on her neck. Four-year-old, six-year-old child, children. And I'm like, God. God, 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 we're a house of miracles. We're a house of miracles, surely. So crazy me. I schedule six healing meetings, 6 weeks in a row. Wednesday night, 50 people come with Kim, lying on a mattress. She's struggling to breathe. We love her. We pray for her 6 weeks in a row. Five times in church kind of meeting, six time elders praying for her. So I'm like, God, please, please, please. The fifth night with this church meeting of, say, 50 plus people, we preach my heart out. We worship our hearts out. Now we're praying for her. She's lying there on this mattress. And we are, Jesus, we know You overcame cancer. I've seen You four times in my life at that stage, healing cancer in front of my eyes. Stage four cancer. I've seen it. Do it again, surely. And we pray, and then nothing. And so at some point I ask God, okay, God, I know You're always working. So who will You reveal Yourself to us in this? And I heard the Lord say to me, Your comforter. I'm like, no, wrong answer. Wrong answer. Ah. On Easter Friday, they told her she's about a week to live. Easter Friday, she's struggling to breathe. 10, 15, 20 people go to the house and they worship over her and pray over her. Around 3 o'clock, 5 minutes past three, she's like, if I die, You raise me from the dead. I've never seen such faith. She's just like, come on. 5 minutes past three, she dies. Easter Friday. That's the day Jesus died, at the cross. At 3 o'clock, Jesus died. 5 minutes past three, Kim dies. I tell you, we as a church went to the cross. We died. We went through stuff. She died. One of our staff members, her husband was murdered. Farmer. Another lady lost her baby 9 months and a week. My wife and I have been trusting God for 11 years for another child. The Lord says it's time to let it go. We let it go. We lay it down. 11 years of trusting. I've never cried as much as that year. Sat with JP, my assistant pastor. We don't know what to say. We just cried. You know what? He's good. He's always good. He's only good. And we took our pain and we pushed into the presence of God. God changed something in us that year. He used the pain to catapult us into His presence. And God is doing more miracles now than we have ever seen, but it was a test. Will you worship me even when things don't go your way? Do you have eyes to see that I'm always moving, I'm always working? Sometimes I'm healing, sometimes I'm your comforter, but I'm always working. What is your goal in life? My goal is Jesus. My goal is living for His glory. My goal is I will not be offended with Him. I will live for His glory. I will proclaim His glory. I will live for Him. And I tell you, Jesus did something in us. It changed us. An incredible thing happened when about a week before I was elected onto the leadership of Shofar, the apostolic leadership team. About a week before that, I heard the voice of the Lord ask me this question. Andre, can I trust you? This is 2017. Can I trust you? I was like, well, God, I hope so. Then, a week later, elected onto leadership of a church, like 50 churches, overseeing 50 churches. This is like 6-7 years ago, and I'm like, I'm too young for this. 39 years old. This is like 10 years too early. It was so tough. 5 years. Last year, so many things happened. The year 2021 is when all these people died, and I had to let go of this dream of having a second child. I had to lay all these things down at the feet of Jesus. And then middle last year, we're flying to Ivory Coast. Pastor Neil's with me. So we're in a hotel in Johannesburg before we're going to fly. So just before we go to bed, I said, Neil, come on, let's pray together. So he's over there in his bed, and I'm in my bed, separate beds. Praise God. These days, you have to tell, say everything. So I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, we're just praying for this. We're going to a church in Ivory Coast, church of 2,000 people. We're going to speak on live French-speaking TV all over Africa. And I'm like, God, have your way. And so now we're praying. And then it's like the throne room of heaven comes down. And I get this prophetic download, like 35 minutes of prophetic words. Strategies for what God's going to do in the Ivory Coast. And the Lord starts to speak to me. And He shows me. He reminds me, 5 years ago, I asked you, can I trust you? Then the Lord said to me, this is not 5 years later. This is like the new 5 years on leadership. Then the Lord said to me, I can trust you. The Lord said to me, everything was a test. Can I trust you? Will you curse my name or will you worship me in your pain? I can trust you. Then the Lord said, I'm giving you more of my anointing. I'm giving you more authority. I'm giving you more of my power. And we experienced it in the Ivory Coast. Church of 2,000 people. First time I experienced it without having to lay hands on people. People were healed all over the venue. Incredible things happening. You know what? I know it is Jesus. Because I have cried my tears. I know I am nothing without Jesus. You know, people think about a healing ministry. Whoa, whatever. Yeah. Do you know how many times you just cry with people? You just weep. It is not glorious. But it's glorious when Jesus shows up. So I want to encourage you. Everything you've been through. Every pain. Every disappointment. Every trial. If you allow it to work in you a good work, you will have more of Jesus. He is the reward. He is the goal. Heaven is heaven because God is there. Amen? Don't allow the enemy to kill your faith because of disappointments. There's glory on the other side. Amen? So how do you handle this? How do you handle disappointments? How do you handle when bad things happen? Well, here's a good way of handling it. Something bad happens at work. Something disappointing happens. Then you get onto the phone, you phone a friend, and you say to them, "Happy birthday to me!" Why? Because James chapter 1 says, rejoice in trials and tribulations. Because on the other side of it, you find more of God. I'm paraphrasing. You find more of God. The Lord does a perfect work in us. So come on, say it, "Happy birthday to me." Amen. Happy birthday. Come on, say it again. Happy birthday to me. Somebody treats you like dirt. Happy birthday to me. Amen. You know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, peace, joy, all those things. It is not in December holidays when everything is wonderful and you're happy. It's like, ooh, the fruit of the Spirit. It is when it's crazy and people are treating you like dirt and the pressure is on. Then fruit of the Spirit. Then joy. Your spirit has been fully renewed. You're born again as a believer in Christ. And the Holy Spirit lives in you, and your spirit and the Holy Spirit is one. What does that mean? You have unlimited access to love, peace, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Come on, say amen. You have to get this, but you have to take the pressure and let it catapult you into the presence of God. You know, over the last 10 years, I have been persecuted so many times. You know, when you pursue the power of God, you're going to get persecuted. People are going to talk bad about you. They're going to accuse you. It's wonderful. You know, my response is always, I bless. My response always, I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. But you know what? At times, I go to the Lord and you say, "Lord, are you seeing this? I bless them. I will forgive them. I will be kind. I will be nice. But God, are you seeing?" "Lord, you judge. I always win. You can always win." Come on. You have to believe it. Who is with you? Doesn't matter who treats you like dirt. Just put yourself in the hands of the Most High God and say, "Lord, you judge. But I will not backbite. I will not break down. I will not curse. I will not be offended. I will not be bitter. I will not act like an idiot. I will honor the name of Jesus Christ." And then you win. It's upgrade time. Every time you go through pressure, let pressure catapult you into the presence of God. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. I am preaching myself happier tonight. Hallelujah. My greatest breakthroughs has been because of pressure. And sometimes just plain injustice. Then I have more of Jesus. So develop a lifestyle, a mindset. He's always good. He's good, he's always good, he's only good. Amen. Come on, say, "He's only good." Don't settle for anything less. Pressure catapults you into his presence. And then number three, ending off with a stand before God. And no man can stand before you. Joshua 1 verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I love that. He's saying, Joshua, I am with you. No fortified city, no army, no man, no opposition will be able to take you down. You know, if you stand before royalty often, you will not be intimidated by the ordinary man. I want to say to you, if you stand before the King of Glory, no man will intimidate you. You will have a divine boldness. But you have to dwell in his presence. You have to develop a lifestyle of walking in the presence of God as a lifestyle. Stand before the Lord and no man can be able to stand before you. No person, no obstacle, nothing can stop what God wants to do against you. That's why God spoke to Joshua and he said, "Be strong and courageous." Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. If you want revival, if you want the fullness of God in your life, you're going to have to, you need courage to stay on track. Because there will be obstacles on the way. There will be disappointments on the way. But your biggest breakthrough is on the other side of the obstacle. Your biggest breakthrough is the other side of the disappointment. Your biggest breakthrough is on the other side of your fear. Amen? And so you have to see with the eyes of your heart. And that's why I found the prophetic word is so powerful. Because I would say, but God, you said. People are saying this, but God, but you said. Stand before God, and no man can stand before you. A divine, supernatural boldness. And in the last verse, Joshua 1 verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, every place, shift the atmosphere. You know what? Wherever I go, I own the atmosphere. I take authority over the atmosphere. This is Jesus is Lord in this place because he lives in me and I am here. A boldness. Not coming under whatever is happening or the atmosphere that's around you, but standing in the presence of God. So be revived. How? Whenever you lose your peace, go pray. It's lunchtime and you had a horrible morning. Go walk in your lunchtime. Go pray. Pray in the Spirit. Make declarations. Stand on the Word of God. Forgive that manager that's freaking you out, or that employee that's upsetting you, or the whatever. But get your peace back. Don't allow your peace to be stolen. Come on, say every place. Revival is now. Revival is now. If you have faith and you dwell in the presence of God, you can shift the atmosphere. You are not a victim. Come on, say it, I'm not a victim. You're not a victim of the people around you. You're not a victim of your circumstances. You're not a victim. Christ lives in you. How can you be a victim? And you have peace and joy and love and goodness and kindness. You have all these things in you already. Shift your mindset and step into what God has already given you. Amen. Hallelujah. Please stand with me. Worship team, join us here in the front. Come on, we're shifting mindsets here tonight. Come on, say happy birthday to me.
Amen.